Hello, hello.
Hi, John.
Hi, Trish.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, Paul.
Nice to see everyone.
Yeah.
Indeed. Nice to see you guys.
Indeed.
Too.
Cool.
Maharaj's photo, you can't see, is a little blurred out. Okay.
Oh, I can see it. We can see it.
Okay.
The light is bright behind it.
Any questions from the web?
No, I disabled that because I was getting a lot of spam stuff of like, hey, your website, let's do a security check or some kind of stuff. And it just got too much. So I said, okay, we're getting it. We got a few questions and that was really, for a time it was nice, but it started just getting beaten with spam.
Okay.
Hey, Keith.
Hello, Keith.
Oh, hello.
Hi, Keith.
Hello there.
I put the ice bath in my living room since it is summer. And it gets harder to fight the heat and with the ice bags, you know. So I put it inside the house, so it's become part of my cave inside now. So it's easier to maintain the water cold, you know. So every time I get in, it's close to 0 degrees. So, but outside it's impossible because it's summer. Summer's on the way, and it's impossible to maintain the water cold, you know. So. The concept of cold and hot, even though they're just concepts, you know, you have to work at them, you know, you have to work at them to keep them alive, you know, to keep the cold cold and to keep the hot hot. So I brought it in the house. my life partner doesn't like that I have a trash can in the house, but I call it Ganga, you know, I call it the Ganges. So she slowly adapted to it, you know. Very funny. I dump it out every 2 days, you know, because I leave a dead body behind every time I go in there. It's the ritual that gets you, you know, not so much the cold water. The freezing water becomes irrelevant after a while. It's just the pre and the post. It's the ritual that makes you shake, you know, and it's something very, very tied to this thing that we're looking for, you know, that stillness, you know, the rituals. Although nothing means nothing in the end, you know, everything dissolves, even the hardest work, you know, without a doubt, it dissolves. The first thing that dissolves is your hard work, you know, mm-hmm. Incredible. But we keep at it, we keep at it.
You have ice baths every day?
Yeah, yes. In the winter, in the fall and in the winter, I choose the coldest moment of the day, and I go out at 3 a.m, 4 a.m, 6 a.m. And but during the summer, it just happens, you know. It kind of happens spontaneously, you know. And now since it's in the house, it's happening more out of the blue, you know, just part of the ritual, you know. And but I try to, if I don't get into the ice bath, I at least do the cold shower for 5 minutes, you know, until I reach my natural state. That's the idea. That's the objective too. I get into the ice bath, and as soon as I get in there, I think about my natural state. I try to get the breathing down to basically deep sleep breathing. And a thoughtless 5 minutes, you know, thoughts will arise in discomfort. They arise, they get in between the mantras. And so that's what I work on. You know, I look at Nisargadatta, and I look at a few friends who have passed on, and I use any motivation just to get me through, you know. But after the second minute, the third minute, you fall into a bliss. You know, where it's just the I am and no problems and no issues and no bills to pay, because it's you and that water, you know, you and that cold concept, you know. So it's something like, if I don't do it, I feel like I'm missing out on something, you know. I don't know. I try not to, I don't try. It's not connected in any way to a desire, you know, to a responsibility, to a task. It just happens, you know. You know, the body eventually just calls for it. If I skip it, my body already starts to get cold, you know, as if it has recorded that, you know, that time frame. That, so, yeah. But I think once a week is fantastic, you know. If you get to do it once a week, you know, that's 52 times out of the week you're putting yourself in a very uncomfortable situation, you know. And then anything else that you face in the waking dream, you're just observing it, you know. It can't affect you at all, because in comparison to putting yourself inside a box of ice, it's like nothing, you know. So I just wanted to share that. Something personal. It's like another point, excuse me, Guruji, John. Another thing that's important to understand with respect to the cold baths or what we are talking about, you'll see a lot on YouTube how people warm up before doing this. They exercise, they do the Wim Hof method. But what we do is try to get to that natural state. So I don't warm up, I don't exercise, I don't deep breathe, because the objective is to get to that deep sleep breathing, you know, basically not breathing. So I just go in there, without warming up, you know. It doesn't make sense to warm up and then get back to your natural state. You actually complicate it. In meditation, it's similar. You know, you don't have to go in there and say, I'm meditating. Okay, take a deep breath. Wait, who was breathing before you said, take a deep breath, you know? And that's the person who's meditating. And when you're in that ice bath, it doesn't make sense to warm up, because you have to then cool down and go beyond the cold, you know? So meditation is kind of like that. You know, you have to go beyond that person who wants to meditate, you know? The mantra is the same. You have to go beyond the person who's doing the mantra, you know? And I think the ice bath helps you do that, you know? Oh.
As for me, earlier in the week, I had a, it just came on to me out of the blue. I was suddenly able to recognize how my mind identifies with something or other, but also I was able to pick up on how every aspect of my experience is some type of identification. And then I noticed even in the at the level of the body and just bare perception and like touch or something is a type of identification. And so somehow that like freed me from the identification by getting a full view of everything being some kind of, everything that I think of as being or experience as being some kind of identification. And then somehow I was sort of released from the identification. And then, so I was kind of wondering, it was obvious to me that mind identifies because, you know, you think of an object, you're identifying the object. I mean, that's pretty straightforward. But as far as sensations, like you touch different things, I don't know, say you touch a hard surface, it's less obvious as an identification because it takes the mind to say, okay, that's hard. But still, the act of touching anything, it creates a reaction, whether it's to pull away or just to not worry about pulling away. But there's an identification of something other than the body, say. And so I would say, yeah, it seems like sensation is also a type of identification. And then I was wondering, well, is both of those, we are conscious of both sensation identifications and mental identifications. Is consciousness, would that be considered even consciousness itself? It doesn't exist without some type of identification, I'm guessing. So even that's a type of limitation, being dependent on what enters consciousness for consciousness to identify. It's like, say you wake up in the morning, you identify that you are awake now, whereas previously you weren't. I was just wondering, John, do you think the identification applies even as a limitation even to consciousness, that consciousness is limiting itself when it identifies?
You are totally and completely formless. All experiences are taking place within the consciousness, and you're the formless kind of seer of this, just as you are in dream. That same one that sees the dream and all the activities in the dream and all the forms coming and going within the dream formlessly is your own selfless self. All the experiences within that consciousness, within those dreams, are useless. They mean nothing because you're prior to both. You're prior to consciousness. Consciousness, then you say this formlessness that's here is seeing the world because of the concept of being in a form. This is a dead body that the formlessness that is all of everything seemingly is here. This consciousness then becomes an individualized consciousness because of your identification with a specific form, just as the same in dream. However, you're formless. Anything you do with form is within the bubble of illusion and therefore useless. All experiences, the experiencer itself is all within the bubble of illusion. You can call it consciousness. You can call it within presence. You can call it whatever you like. But you're totally outside of that. Nothing has to do with you. You're unchanging. You need to know yourself in a real sense, and then you won't try to desire all these various changes within the illusory world. Just as this witness of seeing, and when I say witness, it's just, it's there. So within a dream, you could say you're witnessing, but it's spontaneous. Suddenly a dream world is created and all these things are happening, but nothing's happening. You know this, you're just kind of seeing. And you're formless because all of this form means nothing. So every time I try to figure it out or I try to have experiences within the form-based illusion, I just have to kind of laugh at myself and say, oh, okay, so I have identification with a body that can do things within the form world. That's not true. And the more I do this, it's like a rat chasing its tail around in a maze. You're just going around and around and around. Oh, look at me. I'm having these experiences. I'm doing this. I'm starting to feel this way. I'm starting to have this feeling. Like Maharaj says, these are progressive steps, but you're not going to know yourself in a real sense this way. And once you know yourself in a real sense, you will laugh at your own self. You will sit there and say, like, okay, I made this trip to India and I really thought that I did this and I did that and all this sort of thing. But the formlessness that you are doesn't do anything except that this creation from the five elements, this goo that was fed and kept growing, there's a formlessness that sees I am this form. And therefore I have the ability to see a world just as you do in dream. There's a dream character that sees a dream world. And yet the cool thing is, you're not just seeing things from the character's perspective, you're having an overview of the whole dream because it all came from you. So this entire waking dream came from you. There's really nothing to figure out other than to identify yourself in a real sense. And for that, all you need is a second. You just sit. Oh. See, the problem is you don't believe that you're not a body. You're trying to discover that you're not a body. If you believed you're not a body, then you wouldn't try to discover it. Mm-hmm. You know, what is there to discover? I'm not a body. Okay, so why would I discover this if I know this truth? I'm a man. Am I going to sit there and investigate I'm a man? No, this is a common thing. Okay, I'm a man. So if I know I'm formless, I'm not going to try to investigate and say, how can I be? I know this. And that's where the spontaneous conviction comes in. And like Maharaj says, without conviction, you spend many, many, many hundreds of millions of lifetimes, even though there's no such thing, searching for your own self. So you spend a little bit of time with you. Oh, so that I am that. And now you just remain. Then you see what's going on in the world. Okay, it's going on. It's not going on. Nothing's happening. I remain with myself as self.
But isn't that some kind of recognition that of what you are?
But this is just an unwinding of all the things you are not. The entire world appeared upon your spontaneous presence. Presence appeared to that you are. You're the knower of the sense of presence. You're formlessly the knower of this sense of presence. The only way you can feel the presence is through the body form. Otherwise, there's no feeling because there's no feeler because you are. And see, then we say, oh, there's nothing. But this is not the concept of nothing, because the concept of nothing came along with the body, and you're not body. So this concept of nothing is only applicable to this body-based illusion. And you know it's illusion because you're formless, and you can know you're formless through the use of this body to know yourself in a real sense. Then you discard everything and live a happy life. Nothing can disturb you because you're not there.
But you, as the formless, you're still recognizing the form, right?
This, I don't understand the question. What do you mean?
You're aware of the form being like a limitation.
No. How? What do you mean?
If you're formless.
You're formless.
And there's all this stuff going on that you recognize is going on.
Within my own self.
Within yourself, but you're recognizing that it is
there are appearances that come. It seems just like right now we're in a scene. We're in a scene where we're seeing some little boxes and there's some talking going on. And then this scene will be over. And then maybe watching TV, there'll be some new scenes on the TV. It seems they come and go. There's no me there to do anything. I can knock on this wood, but that's just like a body-based kind of function. There's no, I'm not sure I understand the question. Once you know yourself in a real sense.
I'm getting used to this. And
the you that's getting used to us is the false illusory one. And the one that's seeing the you that's trying to get rid of it is the true. And it's always there.
But that's I don't recognize myself. It seems like sometimes I feel less connected to the identifications.
Again, as Nisargadatta Maharaj would say, show me a sample of this I that can't recognize itself. If you're formless and you take a picture of yourself, what are you? And if you're not identified with the body, then you absolutely know. Oh, yeah. I'm more like the space in the room than the body that seems
to be. It means nothing to say that at all unless you're comparing.
You have to know this.
Unless you're comparing it to what you're seeing that is a limitation.
No comparisons.
Like sometimes you say you're independent of the experiences of limitation. It's like.
This is just because you know yourself in a real sense. See, Keith, you're trying to intellectualize and conceptualize and try
I'm trying to understand it.
But there's no understanding.
My experience, is it matching what you're saying? That's what I'm trying to do.
But there's no experience, no experiencer, ultimately. There's no understanding. All of these things are torn away. You just have to remain with your selfless self. And then all these body-based concepts will collapse. You know yourself in a real sense, these body-based concepts collapse. So Keith's job is to sit and just remain. Meditation, mantra, just sit and remain. And that will suck everything in. All the concepts will collapse. When you know yourself in a real sense, no concepts can hold up. So you see, you're trying to use mind, ego, intellect to logically figure things out and have a logical understanding of something that the only thing you can logically understand is within the illusion and useless. Because you're prior.
Things passing, the stuff that's passing and appearing is still.
But you don't have to worry about that. All you have to do is spend some time with you. Don't worry about the experiences, the things that are passing, because once you know yourself in a real sense, the dime drops. Oh, so that I am that. And now there's no need to figure it out. It's finished. This so, you that you are, that you do not believe yourself to be, is the only you. Everybody else is like, no. As a matter of fact, I read in Siddha Maheshwara's book today. It's a very nice story. It is this father-in-law. He has his son-in-law and wants to invite him over to this big, nice house he has. So he sends him an email. He says, oh, please come and visit me. Well, this guy, this very shady character, he intercepts the email. So he says, aha, I'll get a free stay. So he gets in the car. When he goes and he's standing with the son-in-law, when the father-in-law's car comes and pulls up. So the son-in-law and this guy come in and sit. Now, the son-in-law doesn't say anything because he believes that this is his father-in-law's friend, probably, who's in this car. So they go to the house. And now the father-in-law, he sees this guy, but he doesn't want to say, hey, why did you bring your friend? Because he doesn't want to insult the son-in-law. So then the son-in-law says, okay, well, this is the father-in-law's dear friend. So things go on. Then they have a room. The father-in-law puts the son-in-law's friend in the room next to him because he believes that's his friend. And the son-in-law then, it's reinforced that this friend must be a dear friend of his father-in-law. Well, this rascal goes downstairs and starts fixing himself nice meals and ordering the cooks around and all that. And the father-in-law is kind of horrified, but again, doesn't want to offend the son-in-law. Then this horrible little rascal goes to the son-in-law's place and starts taking his clothes and wearing his clothes and all this. But the son-in-law doesn't want to say anything because he believes this father-in-law is his very dear friend. Well, finally, everybody has enough of this guy because they're trying. But this guy, he's just pushing the limits in every way. And they finally, the son-in-law and the father-in-law, get together and say, because the father-in-law comes in and says, your friend, how could you bring such a rascal to my house? And this guy says, wait a minute, I thought he was your very dear friend. Well, that rascal, he disappeared. He's no longer there. And that's just like this ego, that you keep saying that this ego is somebody, something, that you are someone, and you are not. And yet you're abusing all this thing. You say, oh, I did this and I did that. And how do I get this and how do I get that? So it's a very nice story. And when I read it, I was like, wow, that's very nice. Because here's this rascal who's portraying himself. He's nothing, but he's portraying himself as somebody, as something, and causing so much mischief. Don't do that. And like Siddhar Mishra Maharaj says in his book too, in Master of Self-Realization, he says that, okay, if I tell you not to go down the street and pick up the gutter, the little pipe things, because it's a bad smell, and then you go and do it anyway, don't be like that. If you're told that you are the selfless self, that's it. Now you know the good news. Now you must investigate. And I don't mean investigate using the mind, because your mind is absolutely, completely, and totally useless. Other than, do I want fries with this? That's about the extent of the mind. What, I'm in a restaurant, I'm going to order some food. You know, I'm going to do some practical things. But that's the extent of it. So don't use your mind, as they say, use the thief to catch a thief. Don't do that. You've been told, just remain with your selfless self. Be with you. And that's it. There's no need, like Maharaj says, standing on one leg and in the river. There are people who stand on one leg until their leg atrophies, and they think that this is spirituality. This is like, this is nothing. As Maharaj says, there are people who go around the Himalaya Mountains, or not the Himalaya, the Arunachala Mountain, around and around, because Ramana Maharshi did it. Okay, Ramana Maharshi enjoyed a nice walk around the mountain, and that was his guru, because he found himself. He's not saying, follow me, run around this mountain. He's saying, find yourself. Now he's with his own self. He's enjoying a walk around the mountain, but he's not doing it for a purpose. He knows absolutely that there is no deed, no doer. And then all these guys start following him around the mountain, thinking that they're going to be like Ramana Maharshi. And Maharaj, he would tell us all the time, you know, we've got another one coming in. He was hiking in the Himalayas to find himself, and now he's coming here. And maybe, see, like Maharaj says, nothing in the spiritual journey is wasted, because this guy, he hiked around the Himalayas. It really beat him up. He got so dejected. He was like, this is just not the way. Maybe I should give up on spirituality. And then he comes to Maharaj, and Maharaj says, all this throw it away. Be with you. Here's a mantra. Any mantra will do. Aham Brahmasmi, Soham, Shivoham, whatever. Stay with you. Investigate, and not with mind. Once you know yourself in a real sense, all these mind-body concepts just go away. They're not there. You don't have to figure them out. See, that's the key. If you sit there and you try to understand how I am this, no. There's complete faith and trust in the master. Master says you are Brahman. Now you investigate this and not investigate with mind. Maharaj says, spend some time with you. See what's here. Not intellectually, not gathering experiences and then trying to see which experience is more spiritually inclined than the others or how my experiences are progressing. There's no you to progress. You're just here. That's why Nisargadatta Maharaj said in the beginning, every waking minute he spent with the I Am. That's not for his health. He's saying to you, this is how I know myself. Every waking moment I spend with the I Am, the sense of presence, just I, just I. When I'm not working, I'm with the I Am. When I'm not with my wife, I'm with the I Am. When I'm not out and doing, I'm with the I Am. And then eventually, you are that, and all these experiences are going on within you. And that's why Maharaj says, if you stay with the I Am, it investigates, opens up all the secrets. Ramaka Maharaj says, one of his videos is, this I Am is a concept. You know, don't get held up in this concept. Because that's so dangerous. Everybody's like, okay, I'm remaining with I Am. I am remaining with the I Am. This I that's remaining just has to be removed. I is everything. When you say I, it's all of existence. When you say Keith, you're trying to do a limited local identification for a lump of goo.
Well, that's what I was saying. I was recognizing that I was doing identification, and that released me from identification. And then I was just trying to...
But don't play mental concepts. Remain with your selfless self. That's it. Experiences come and go. Forget about them. Remain with your selfless self. Even if you're remaining with your selfless self and Maharaj himself comes down out of the ceiling and floats into your living room and says, Keith, you are my very best disciple. You are enlightened in this moment. Go tell the world. Forget about that. That's an experience, because you have to be there prior to the experience. All experiences are useless because there's a you there that's experienced, that's prior to this experience. And this you that's there is not experiencing. These experiences are appearing on your spontaneous presence. You remain with yourself. If you truly remain with yourself, it's short time. And then you're like coming here and just sitting very quiet. And maybe then you just go away after a while because you're just like, okay, I'm good. Oh, okay, maybe I'll come online. Maybe I won't. I don't know. Because you're you. You're not trying to pretend to be something different. And you're certainly not trying to pretend to be something different that's trying to find yourself.
That's just that it seems, you know, I got to work this into my life where it's more like where I'm not identifying with ego. And it seems like, you know, gradually
meditation.
I'm doing it less and less.
Meditation really is, that's the key. And when I say meditation, like Maharaj says, meditation is not sitting like, you know, no, it's not this. Meditation is concentrating on the concentrator until the concentrator disappears within the concentration.
Is that what you mean by the inquiry too?
No inquiry. Inquiry, you're going to use words. Who am I? Who am I? Who am I? Mind says, well, let's see who we are.
Investigation
is just to see. Like Maharaj says, this body is blood and flesh and bones. And this subtle sense of presence. No need to identify it. No need to label it. Just be.
I mean, you can't even call that investigation. Really.
Of course that's investigating, because the investigator is going to disappear within the investigation. You're going to sit there and say, oh, this subtle sense of presence. And the more you seemingly are involved with this sense of presence, and that's all you're seeing, then it's going to dawn on you that this subtle presence, I'm the knower of this sense of presence. But it's not in words. Just like Nisargadatta Maharaj used to kind of, he'd tell the people, listen, I am is prior to words. If you're sitting there saying, I am, I am, I am, I am. No, I am is prior to words. You are prior to words. This is why also a lot of people, they pray very wordy, long prayers. And even it says in the Bible, don't do this. Sit in a closet with yourself privately with God.
Then he also
says, be doing long, lengthy prayers.
He says, I am has to go also.
Eventually. Of course I am has to go, because this is the first step. See, not investigating, the first thing is, who am I, is just to get you to start to investigate. But investigation is not like Sherlock Holmes, and we're going to get a trail of how to investigate. No, investigation is just be with you. Just sit there. If thoughts are coming and going, okay, no problem. Let them come and go, because I'm just trying to just be here with myself. And I don't sit there and say, who am I? Or this thought is not good, or let this thought pass, or I am formless. No, I just remain. And all this traffic can come and go. I'm just sitting with myself. And like Maharaj says, do this throughout your day. And you don't have to even close your eyes. You can investigate yourself right here, right now, just sitting. And you just be with you. And then you see that there, it's just this subtle, just I. Nothing, 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 nothing. No concept of nothing, because there's no mind right here, because we're prior to mind, and this is known. And once you know yourself in a real sense, you just remain with that sense of presence. And forget about what this presence is, or am I this presence, or how does, just remain with this subtle sense of presence, because you're unwinding yourself.
Well, that's
recede,
what I
recede, recede. Don't make it an exercise. Don't make it an intellectualization. Don't make it an investigation. And don't use logic. Keith, logic is useless. It came along with the body. Just like physics is useless, it came along with the body. Science is useless. It came along with the body.
I do connect with what you're talking about. It's just then I start identifying with things, and then I lose the sense, and then I'm
you're not
it.
Okay. There's something that's observing this identification of all these things. So allow that to just go on, and you remain with yourself. You're not losing yourself, because you are all there is. So you can't lose yourself. This is the truth.